How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to Pixelated Thoughts. Everyone is here, right? We got Brad, who's not, hasn't been on animes for a while, whatever. Jack and Chibi. We're joined today by Chris because we are going to be talking about game development. He currently works at Steamroller Animation. They have worked on a number of games. If you looked them up on, you can find their credits like IMDb. You can go to their website. Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thanks.
All right. Anyway, fuck all that noise. Listen, what's going on with Ubisoft? Why did you make Cyberpunk so bad? No,
dude, they sent us these cups as a congratulation for the new Assassin's Creed game.
Oh, for I was like, holy shit. I was wondering what was like strobing up your face. I was like, what the fuck?
This is a Halloween Horror Nights cup.
Those are
clowns.
2019.
Those are great.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Chris, tell us about yourself, man.
Hey, so I'm a game developer from here in Orlando. I went to school at UCF, started off as a computer science major, went to a couple game jams, decided, hey, this is really what I want to do. Said, you know, fuck the computer science stuff. Let's just go start making games. I'm tired of writing operating systems and tiny little virtual machines to emulate a computer. And then I just switched my major, started making a bunch of games, graduated, and I was looking for a job in the game industry and wound up at Steamroller. Before that, I had a couple internships at UCF. Mm-hmm. One of them was like, there's a lot of simulations work that happens with game engines. So like, we did some like VR therapy for people, like first responders who have like PTSD. Nice. We just built like simulations to essentially re-traumatize them so they can get over their PTSD through like exposure therapy.
Oh, yep. I understand. I was like, damn.
And that was in Unity. You know, we built out like, if you ever played like Cyberpunk, you know, the brain dance thing?
Yeah.
Imagine like three college students trying to recreate that. it was hell.
Essentially.
But it was pretty cool. And we got a couple grants from the government. You know, eventually we rotated off that project and other people came on. And then I was at Limitless Solutions. If you've ever been to UCF campus, they do like prosthetic arms for kids.
Oh.
But they also make games to train the kids to use those.
Yeah.
So instead of using a controller, you're using like these like sensors that, you know, hook up to your muscle. When you flex, your character will like jump. So imagine like Flappy Bird, but you have to like flex your bicep to jump. And that's how we teach the kids to use the arms and stuff.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And so they had a new thing for like a hands-free wheelchair. You put these, they called it Project Xavier, because you were like, you know, like Xavier from the X-Men with your wheelchair. And you have these sensors here, and you like cleanse your jaw, which flexes this muscle. And then, you know, you could use that to control the wheelchair. You're like straight, turn right, turn left, stop, reverse, stuff like that.
Nice.
And then, you know, I wound up at Steamroller. Initially, I'd interviewed to work on rides, actually, like Universal stuff, you know.
Oh, nice, cool.
Because we do work for attractions all over all over the country, but mostly here in Florida, because there's a lot of theme park stuff here.
Yeah, if you haven't actually happened to go into the website, you see like you guys are all over the place. Tech, animation.
Yeah, so like something that people don't really know about entertainment industries in general is that just because a company puts something out doesn't mean that they did all the work.
Right.
So you see a Sony game and you think, oh, Sony made that and they're developers, and you look up how many developers are on that team and it's like 100, 200 people, but the games keep getting bigger and bigger in scale. Well, a lot of that work comes from external partners who will do like animation or gameplay or level design to kind of pad out the workforce, because otherwise you're hiring up and firing people all the time. And so why you see like EA was doing that like 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
You'd see them hire a bunch of people, start all these studios, and then the games would do okay, and they'd just shutter them like that, and then their stock goes up the next quarter.
Yeah, they were merging. I think they were acquiring like a bunch of studios at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they were like, cool, man, release one game. Game didn't do what we expected it to do in terms of sales projections. You're gone. I think they, at one point.
Yeah, you're seeing that with Embracer Group is doing that.
Oh,
now,
dude,
right?
What the fuck? Embracer is trying to sell Gearbox right now, I think.
Sell them off?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's,
yeah, there's a report crazy. Recently where like, they have to move some of their assets, right? So.
McKenzie was like, oh shit.
Yeah, so like Gearbox right now I think is up for sale, but there's been assets I think Embracer's looking to move on from. There's rumors that like Tomb Raider's up for it too, even though they just like I think
Didn't they just buy that from Eidos or whatever?
No,
whatever.
So like with Square Enix sold off all their American studio stuff
from Crystal Dynamics, right?
Yeah. So when Square Enix like let go of all their stuff, it was like, you know, there's a lot of good franchises.
Yeah.
What the fuck was it? It was Mankind Divided. Who's that? Brad knows. What was that game? The Deus Ex series? Deus Ex series went to Embracer. Tomb Raider went to Embracer. I don't know if Guardians of the Galaxy did. I'm pretty sure it did, though. I don't think they kept it. But yeah, Embracer has just been, it's kind of like a fire sale right now, but I don't know why. Yeah. Like, at all.
Yeah. Oh, but it's just their games did bad, and their whole business strategy was, let's keep buying games at studios, essentially.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was their business strategy. It was, we're going to do this until it doesn't work, and it stopped working. So how'd they get money back? They cut costs, right? They sell things off, and they recuperate their losses.
What's really interesting about...
Volition wasn't making money, right? Dude. Like
That's so sad, man. The Volition thing is sad as shit.
It's sad because it was kind of one game they messed up, and I can forgive that. You know,
It was a big game, though. Saints Row was fucking... That's a big franchise for Volition.
It is a huge franchise. It's been around for a while. You got to understand, too, that whenever studios get bought out like that and moved around, people leave all the time. And so you can't really make it's hard to make a good game when the team that you made the last good game with left.
Yeah.
After that game.
BioWare
just fired 50 people, right?
Yeah, didn't they just lose the creative director as well? I'm assuming for Mass Effect.
It seems like they fired the most senior people in the entire game. Because when that got announced, I saw on my Twitter a lot of people being like, "Oh, the guy who wrote Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 just left the company. The guy who's there since they founded, they called him Writer Alpha."
Oh, shit.
He wrote Minsk and a bunch of the original Baldur's Gate characters. He wrote all of them. That was the guy who did the writing at BioWare. So a lot of the good writing that you probably appreciated from ever since they were founded, and everything on Knights of the Old Republic and
Mass Effect, Jade Empire.
It was that guy, probably. You know, you don't know his name, but he got fired.
Jesus, man. Yeah, no, I was telling a friend of mine because they were shocked. I think when Sony was talking about Horizon Forbidden West, I was like, dude, there's at least 10 other studios that collaborated with Sony. It wasn't just their internal first party. They contract out for character animation, other tools and stuff, other assets.
Yeah, everything. Tools, technology, gameplay programming. Like art has gotten so technical that you... kind of, it's hard to do it by yourself, right? You can have a strike team at your studio. It's these are our technical artists and the programmers that are dedicated to rendering and doing hair simulation and making the water look realistic. That's really hard, right? People get PhDs and they do research and they spend years crafting fluid simulations to make that happen. And now these people are trying to make that happen at 60 FPS on a PS5. That's crazy.
Essentially for you, since you're in your time in game development, what has been the most frustrating thing you hear from the gaming community complaining about? What is the one thing you're just
they just don't understand rendering and graphics. Yeah. That's the main thing. And then the other thing is I was talking about, people leave companies all the time. There's the whole thing with Baldur's Gate where people are like, "Hey, don't expect this from AAA." And it's not because people don't want to make good games. I promise you, there's more than enough passion to go around. It's more that people they keep leaving. All the good people keep leaving to start their own companies. They don't stay around at AAA companies to make more good products. They go and often make their own things. Some people stay, but the end result is you have a brain drain. And a game Tears of the Kingdom, I can't imagine any other company than Nintendo making that. That's imagine 300 dudes, 65 years old, all senior game developers. This is the last thing they're ever going to work on. They work 14 hours a day. They chain smoke at their desk. They sleep under the desk. They haven't seen their wives and their kids in 2 months. And they've just been working on Tears of the Kingdom. That's they've known each other for their most of their lives. Where you can't get that environment anywhere else, but Japan at Nintendo. Those people are going to make a better game than any other group of people, right? They're just going to make it. I don't think Tears of the Kingdom could have come out under any other studio anywhere near as polished at all. That game had a surprising few amount of bugs.
I remember
it had its issues, but still.
Who was the studio that Nintendo acquired? They actually acquired a studio. It was the first time I think they've ever done this. It's for Xenoblade Chronicles 3. No, it wasn't Rare. It's for Xenoblade Chronicles 3. They acquired them specifically to work on Switch to ensure that
Camelot.
Was it Camelot?
Maybe.
They are owned by Nintendo. I don't know if was that the one you're referring to.
No, but it was they specifically acquired them to ensure that their games could work because they were going for like this crazy scale. And the complaint, I think, was for Breath of the Wild was that the frame rate issues. But like when they showed Tears of the Kingdom, people were like, oh, it's choppy. It's at 20 frames per second. I'm like, bro, that's running on the fucking Switch. That's like,
yes,
that's past gen hardware, bro.
Your phone is probably better. Yeah,
your phone is better.
If you have an iPhone 12, it's probably faster than Nintendo Switch.
And then, and then the game comes out and it's like incredibly optimized. Like there's barely any frame drops in that game, which is fucking stupid. Yeah. Cause if you ever watch,
most of the frame drops happen when you pick, when you like put on your powers, right?
Right.
Like when you're doing with like reversing time or like you're doing Master Hand. There's frame drops then, but like besides that, I'm surprised the game runs anywhere
near
as well as it does.
Sorry.
Honestly. Yeah, there you go. Monolith. They acquired Monolith because they wanted to like run like when they initially had Xenoblade Chronicles come out on the Wii U, they were like, holy shit, we can work with these guys. And dude, I think Monolith has like completely optimized.
That shit is impressive. They understand that hardware. Like that stuff is hard.
You could tell it's stretched. Like me and Brad have had this complaint, I think, forever. We're like, bro, where's the Switch to? Like, and not even that. We're just like, dude, just get us a dock that runs at 1080p.
Look, I've been saying that since the Switch 1 came out. Because shortly after... Look, okay. So I played Breath of the Wild on my Wii U before it released.
Yeah.
Because before it came out on the Switch, it was out on the Wii U on 4chan.com.org, whatever, I don't know. And people had leaked the whole game. You could just download it if you had a hacked Wii, which if you don't have a hacked Wii, you should hack your Wii. It's amazing. You could load it on your Wii U and play it a week early, see everything. People were just dumping all the contents. And that game ran okay. Then the Switch comes out and it runs the same.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's no way. Like it was really... I want a 60 FPS version of this game, and then my PC could do it. Because like a few months later they had Switch emulators. It was insane.
Don't tell Nintendo that. We gotta bleep that out before they come down hard on you and fucking right.
It's gonna
out.
Be Disney all over again.
Excuse me?
Disney too.
They'll get me fired.
This individual
just as bad as Disney.
This individual works where? That company does not exist anymore under any circumstance. We don't just punish the person, we punish the company.
That's the whole thing.
Oh, there's that guy who's like an indentured slave to Nintendo now or whatever.
Oh yeah, he owes like $50 million or some shit. Like
and so they're making him pay like 20 or 40% of his like income every year.
He
to
will
Nintendo.
Never pay that money back. And Nintendo was straight up like, "Go fuck yourself."
Dude, he's
my
like
guy.
60 or 50 years old. Like he's not like 20. He's not a kid. He's an adult. Like,
what were you thinking, fucking with the plumber, bro? Like you need to know. So, is there anything else like, you know, that you've worked on? Like what's something that you guys have worked on at SteamWorld that you're like super proud of? Like that you know, that most people probably don't know you guys have worked on.
Man, I don't know what I can say publicly that we haven't worked on. Horizon's pretty cool. Pretty cool. I mean we also like we work on Fortnite, right? Like we do a bunch of work on that. I don't know if I can say what we do on Fortnite.
Is it
we do animation, right?
Is it like, consistent work on Fortnite? Like do you guys have a contract
like,
with Epic?
We have a really long-term relationship with
them.
And we've been working with them for I don't know how long.
So hold on.
I didn't know that.
You guys have had access to UE5 for that long?
Yes.
Get him fired. Let's go.
Yeah.
We got him. Brad, clip that.
I guess so.
He's done. FBI.
Yeah, UE5 is, it's cool. It's cool. I didn't see it until I got hired. I mean, I think it was out by the time I got hired there. Mm. So, yeah. UE5 is cool.
Would you consider it like a game changer for like, you know, the jump from UE4 to UE5? Would you consider it like a game changer for a lot of developers?
It saves a lot of time. So do you know what an LOD is?
No.
It's a level of detail. So like when you have an object in game, right? For it to look really pretty, it's got to have a high amount of polygons or else it looks really like low poly, right? Mm. As that thing gets further from the camera, you can't see as many of the polygons, right? Because it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Eventually, it's 1 pixel big on your screen. So there's no need for the computer to calculate those like 1 million polygons worth of character anymore as they get really far. And those things, like the way that you deal with that is a solution called LODs. So what you do is you grab those models, and as they get further, they look worse. Like we just literally, we just make them more low poly. And that's why sometimes in games, as you approach like a tree that's in the distance, like really far, you'll watch it turn from a shitty tree into a better tree, and then a better tree, and then by the time you're like, it's in your face, it looks amazing.
The best tree possible.
And so, exactly, and that's like that's the whole point. The LED is like it's an optimization
goggles.
Technique.
I mean, yeah, it's called beer goggles, man. Are you drunk?
Effectively, but the point is that like computers really can't render stuff in that high of a level of detail like all the way. So like we have to squeeze out every little tiny bit of performance that we can. And so that's one of the things you do. But what Nanite does in Unreal 5 is that it automatically makes those for you, so you don't have to.
Oh, that's fucking quality of
life
right there.
And not only does it do that, it automatically does it down to one polygon. So it's like you technically have infinite levels of detail where you used to have to generate them.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes down to one polygon, so it's about as optimized as it can be.
That's
so you
insane.
Technically don't really have to worry about poly counts anymore. The issue at first was that trees couldn't do that. So anything that like deformed couldn't do nanite. It had to be like static geometry, so like rocks and like the ground and stuff like that. Now like trees, and I don't know about characters, but at least trees can do it. And that lets the environments be a lot more high poly. It's like it makes it faster to make a game. Is the result.
I think the first time when they were talking about like Unreal Engine 5 coming to Fortnite, I was like, how much better can the game look? And I was like, never mind, this game looks fucking insane.
Well, that was because they made a new lighting system,
right?
And like a lot of that is the lighting system, not nanite. It's they reworked lighting. They're using what's called volumetric lighting rather than whatever the hell they were using before. I forgot what it's called.
Mm.
It might be like forward pass lighting or something. I don't remember. Maybe there's someone who knows rendering in the chat that knows it, but I don't remember off the top of my head. The point is that now it's like calculating light, and light bounces. And it bounces more, and it looks more accurate, and you have god rays. And that's why like people were like, oh, I go into this place that I used to in Fortnite, and then the door opens, and the light floods the room, and it looks amazing. And it just didn't do that before. All they did was change their lighting solution. And I think you can still go back to the old one, but yeah, lighting makes a huge difference. You can have like a game with really low poly graphics and really nice lighting, and it'll look better.
Minecraft. Minecraft, yeah, Half-Life 2, kind of.
Yeah,
new Half-Life kind of. Project they're putting out. I think Portal did RTX too, where I was like, it looks nice.
Yeah, I mean, you just add like nicer materials, like. So we went from materials that were just like colors to PBR materials that like try to simulate reality. So you like, you say, oh, this material is this shiny in these spots and maybe matte over here. And so you define like something that's like leather that has like little studs in it, and you make those reflective. You make like a map of where it's reflective and where it's not, where it's shiny and where it's not, stuff like that. And then you just apply that onto a bunch of triangles.
Oh, nice.
Now we have fancier looking stuff rather than like flat, like painted stuff like in Halo or whatever.
I love triangles.
Yeah.
I know you do.
Proud of you.
It's my favorite shape.
I don't know if I'm being too technical. I can tell
you. No, you're fine. I'm chilling.
No, dude.
I'm learning. I'm like, oh, okay.
Rant. Chibi's doing her best of trying to like absorb everything. Look at her.
If you have any questions, like I'll go into as much detail as I can, but I don't.
We're gonna go with the simple ones once you guys get through the heavy details.
But it makes sense.
There's a lot. There's a lot. Yeah. There's so much. There.
It does make sense.
Yeah, I'm trying to explain this to you like I would explain it to anyone like if I were teaching it.
Yeah. No, I mean that's the best way. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure Ken's gonna put some kind of bubble above our heads.
No.
Yeah.
I don't have to do that.
Yeah.
I'll have to zoom in on you guys. Numbers. Now Brad the entire time has put a triangle over his head. He's like, I love that.
Love that shit, bro.
I was playing The Sims and they had that diamond, bro. It's just two triangles. This is two triangles, big dog.
Three dimensional triangle is a pyramid.
This guy.
I don't know what that thing looks like.
Dude, I don't know
how many sides. I can tell you how many triangles.
It's a lot. I'm the same way. I'm just I don't remember.
Well, like technically, if you ever see anything in a game that's like a square, it's actually two triangles, right? Because like it's faster to render two triangles than a square or whatever. You know who did a lot of work on rendering that you would never know? The guy who founded Pixar. Almost. The guy who founded Pixar. Ed Catmull has a book called Inspiration Inc. about his starting Pixar and all the pitfalls they went through.
Nice.
But that guy, he worked at like the University of Utah before internet existed. So they had like the proto internet called the ARPANET that was like this internet that only went between schools. They used it to like transfer research information really fast. And so they were doing a bunch of computer science work and like working on the internet, and he was working on 3D rendering. And he was like a pioneer of like a bunch of the stuff that we've built 3D rendering on top of nowadays. It was like a thing called the Z buffer. So like everything is like in a coordinate grid X and Y. The way that you order things this way is like it's called the Z buffer. It's like that's how you render the thing that's furthest first, and then the thing that's closest to the camera last. Like he came up with that. Smart guy.
I mean, Pixar.
And then they made Toy
great.
Story. Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
like they are you got to realize, like he made one of the first ever computer animated like movies. It was like a short film called like Hand or something.
Yeah.
Grabbed his hand and like put points all over it and measured it and like took measurements and like plotted out his hand in like just points, and then rendered it. Making anime, it blew everyone's mind. It was crazy.
In Unity, it's crazy. It's amazing.
He went forward in time, stole Unity, brought it back.
And now is charging developers 20 cents to install.
Yeah, now he's charging developers 20 cents to install.
Did you?
And Vampire Survivors is going to go out of business.
Oh, dude, don't say that, man. Brad's going to be fucking mad. Don't do that.
It's not my fault.
$20, 20 cents an install. And if you like, what'd they say? Like if you delete and then reinstall it again, that counts as two installs, so they have to charge you 40 cents.
So,
that...
like, the complaint is, like, so the following things are now risks for developers. A demo.
Yeah.
Giving your away a game in a giving away your game in a bundle, right? Like, Humble Monthly. That's an issue. Giving away your game on PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live Gold. Game Pass. Doing giveaways. Any of those things. You know, you're just giving away your game. Like when a game is on Game Pass, right? They don't make money per download. Xbox goes to them and is like, "Yo, we want your game on Game Pass. Like, we'll give you $2 million and we get to have it on there for 6 months."
Yep.
And you're like a tiny indie dev.
That sounds great, right?
You made a game. You're like, sure.
Yeah,
here.
That's a good deal.
Take Sea of Stars. You know,
love that
And then 20 million people downloaded Sea of Stars all of a sudden, and that's more people than have downloaded it on all the other platforms combined. I think Game Pass has 25,000 or 25 million users.
Yeah.
Dude, 20 million people downloading your game.
It's a good feeling.
I don't know.
Right?
1 million. Yeah, that's great. But 1 million people is $200,000 from Unity.
Yeah.
Of a bill.
So,
It's GG.
It's going to put so many. I mean, yeah, there's like this whole uproar. Like, Chibi, if you guys aren't aware, like, Unity is essentially a lot of games use their assets, like, use their actual, like, system engine. So Unity decided today to just be like, yeah, so every time you download or anytime anyone downloads your game, we're going to charge you 20 cents.
Huh?
And for smaller developers, that's like, we can't do that. It's practically
the
unaffordable.
The issue is this, right? You're a small developer. You're probably, maybe you use Unity because you want to prototype something really fast because Unity is really good at that. It's better than Unreal because Unreal's, it's like mega blocks. You got big, blocky, I don't know. It's like tiny Jenga versus really big. Jenga for giants or something. I don't know. And so you're using Unity, and you don't expect your game to do very well, but you know you put it out for like $5 on Steam, and suddenly it blows up. And you weren't using the pro version of Unity. So instead of paying 0.0005 cents per download, you're paying 20 cents per download.
That's crazy.
Not download, per installation.
For installation,
right?
Yeah.
Right. Per installation. So then let's say later along the line, you release your game. Maybe you made money at the start and those 20 cents, they hurt a little bit, but you're fine. Now you release an update and a bunch of more people buy the game, but people had uninstalled your game because it's been a while since the last update. Now all these people download the game, and for each one of those people, you have to pay 20 cents.
That's stupid.
I mean, congratulations to Epic for, for getting many more developers.
You won. Yeah. Epic Games, you won. You won. It's over.
You don't have to use Unity anymore. Yeah, it was. It's
maybe Godot
upper.
Will come and feast on the corpse of Unity, but who knows? If you don't know what Godot is, there's like one game that you might know. It's a Dome Keeper. That one's made in Godot. I don't know anything else that is made in Godot besides that.
Minesweeper
Squad.
Minesweeper would be amazing.
That's a niche one though. I don't expect anyone to play that. But yeah, it's dude, that's awful. I know a lot of people who made. I think did you play Neon White?
Yeah, that's a great game.
I met Ben Esposito. He's really cool. He likes really annoying noises. And
yeah. Fun fact,
like a Dumb and Dumber kind of annoying.
No. Like he really enjoys it when you can play like a professional, like a competitive game, and do like really annoying noises at the enemy team. In Dota, you can like spam voice lines, and everyone in the game hears them.
Oh,
someone dies,
funny.
And you spam like an annoying voice line twice.
So he's a sociopath. Pissed. All right.
So he thinks that's hilarious. He's like thinks that's like a. That's like one of the funniest interactions.
So he's fucking Brad, dude. That's Brad made neon white.
Yeah, and he also just loves like drum and bass music, like jungle music.
Yeah.
So like the Ape Escape soundtrack, if you've ever heard that.
Fucking love Ape Escape, man.
Amazing soundtracks. Amazing, amazing. If you have to like study or focus or anything, listen to the Ape Escape soundtrack. I promise. Promise you'll get a lot of work done. And Ben no, Esposito has given it the rubber stamp of approval. And so that's why Neon White has like the soundtrack that it does with Machine Girl.
Yeah.
It's that type of music.
That's a fucking fantastic game, by the way.
Yeah. Super. If you like FPSs and you like puzzles, and you like platforming, that's your game. Oh, and you puzzles. Like speedrunning.
Yeah.
Like speedrunning.
I mean, essentially, like with the Unity news, like it's going to harm so many independent developers, which is fucking wild
yeah.
to me.
And little small devs are going to be like, well, now I don't want to use your platform because I run a risk of being successful.
Yeah.
Like, dude, if I make a mobile game and it popped, like if Flappy Bird happened again, right?
Flappy
that person
Bird.
Would get fucked.
Yeah. Small yeah. games like blow up all the time. Like Vampire Survivors is like the fucking, like this monster hit.
It's 99 cents
yeah.
on the App Store.
Yeah.
So they would lose 20 cents of that. The App Store, the
dude,
Apple App
sad.
Store takes, I don't know how much percent. They're left at like 60 cents at the end of the day. And God forbid you download the app. Oh, I can't sign in or I don't like this. You uninstall.
Uninstall.
And then maybe you reinstall it again later.
Get all those updates, man.
20 cents? That's insane.
Right?
That's insane.
Imagine you create like a free-to-play like multiplayer game, right? You're just waiting for games to like have their patches or their updates every quarter, so you just dive back in, so you uninstall and reinstall and shit like that. You're essentially
you gotta save space, right? Because you have an iPhone, you can't throw an SD card in there. Like, yeah, oh, it's terrible.
You're essentially killing a developer. I swear,
bro, getting
and
punished
the other
for being
is
successful.
Like, can people rage
exactly.
download?
Yeah.
Like, let's say you don't like the dev because they put pronouns in their game or something.
Starfield.
And you uninstall and reinstall their game 1 million times. You build an army of bots. You deploy them on Microsoft Azure. To download, install, and uninstall this game.
That was something that someone brought up too.
All day,
like that was, you know,
crazy.
So you can like
that
literally fail someone by being successful. That's fucking insane.
That's
dude.
Basically what this is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting penalized for being successful.
I mean,
the end result is that, well, like, okay, so like Unity has been making bad decisions for a while now, for like 2 years. They keep doing things, and people keep getting pissed. Like, guys, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, we love this engine, we like what you're doing, and now this direction you're taking it in. It's
yeah,
obviously
the,
not in the benefit of the developer,
the,
right?
The president of Unity, like, I guess, was it like last year or something where he called like developers fucking idiots or something like that?
Yeah.
Like, dude, yeah, they use your product, man. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? That's your consumer.
They're the driving force of your product.
Yeah, like, why would you badmouth them? Like,
why would you piss them off? And so, like, he keeps making these decisions that keep pissing people off. They're just going to leave, man.
I don't blame them. I would have
too. They're just going to leave. There's other It's not like it's only Unity and Unreal. There's other stuff out there.
Like, somebody's going
to
step up.
And B, Unreal's being pretty nice to people right now.
Oh, yeah. They've been great to people, you know?
They're being real
They may not be great to their own franchises, right? You know, Jack remembers Paragon, but like, you know, they sold off assets. The assets were kind of, I think they were free, right? And then people made their own.
Yeah, they released the assets to everybody.
Anyone in the chat, if you want to make a video game, you can download the Unreal 5 right now. You can download the Epic App Store, download Unreal 5.3, the latest version. You can nanite your trees. And you can download all of the assets for Paragon, all the characters, for free. All of their animations, all of their ability particle effects, all the abilities, all the sounds, all of it. Make whatever you want with it.
Yep. Right,
now, people are probably going to look at your game and be like, this is an asset flip, but, dude, that's a lot to work with.
We're gonna cut that part right there and just be like, hey, Epic, this is a promotion for you guys. What do you think? Pay this man. He just promoted you.
We work with them. They love me.
Epic all the time. Like, this guy's fucking great. He's always saying nice things about us. I love Fortnite. He has a Fortnite shirt, the llama
hat.
Unity.
So I went to GDC this year, right? And that's, like, in San Francisco. Like, They just have, like, a convention center in the downtown of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And, like, every game developer ever is there. A lot of small guys. The guy who made the tweet that everyone jumped onto, the Baldur's Gate one.
Yeah.
Zelavir, I think, is his name.
Yeah.
Nelson, you know, writer Nelson on Twitter. That guy, he was there. Like, I saw him there. He was promoting his game, El Paso elsewhere. He was giving out pill bottles with Tic Tacs in them.
Oh.
And he said it was a nightmare to getting them through security.
Of course it was, man.
I could imagine.
Because he had like hundreds of pill bottles with little Tic Tacs in them.
It's not drugs.
Yeah, exactly. But you get there, right? And you go to like the expo floor and you go downstairs and there's all these companies. Crypto companies, mobile game engine companies, all these companies trying to sell like sound plugins for Unity and Unreal, and like Discord is there and they're giving out free socks. I don't know where my free socks are. They're probably still in my suitcase. And
I'd give those to Brad to model.
But the two biggest things there are Unreal, and they're like lighted in like blue and then or red, and then Unity right across from them, and then they have all these like red lights everywhere. Or blue light. I don't know.
Not anymore.
Yeah, but essentially, the point is, it was red versus blue, you know? These two giants of game engines. And yeah, like you said, not anymore.
We're going to fucking blacklist those guys. Holy
oh,
shit.
Oh, dude. And you know what? You know, it was a lot. There was a lot of crypto companies.
Of course there were. Of course
and there it were. Was interesting because a lot of the people I spoke to was like, hey, is the crypto stuff this bad? And this guy said to me, he was like, dude, I've been here every year since 2001. And last year, there were like 60% more crypto companies. And I looked up some of those companies today because I was curious. They've all gone out of business.
Yeah.
I was like, that's...
Yeah. Crypto is... Crypto has high volatility. There's a reason why most major banks do not support crypto.
Yeah.
They don't accept it. Anyone who does any type of stock trading, you'll notice that like most major like stock portfolios... If you talk to like Charles Schwab or anything, they do not recommend crypto to you because of the high volatility. You will more than likely lose money than you will gain.
Yeah.
Like when Dogecoin was like being hyped up, dude, if you didn't jump on that the second that started to like peak, you weren't making money on that.
You got fucked. The other interesting thing was like there's all these big booths. Like I think they're trying to get developers to use their product or like partner with them or whatever. But all the big studios like Blizzard, Nintendo, like they didn't have a booth. There was a separate section kind of towards the back. There were all these walled off, like little tiny offices that could fit like maybe 8 people.
Right.
And you saw them. You saw people walk up. They had a reception, a little tiny reception. The person and one tablet. One person, one tablet, little tiny desk. And people, it was just like 5 guys in suits would walk up and they would walk them over to a door, open it, let them in. And they were just having these little secret tiny deals, you know, right back there behind closed doors. It's very interesting.
I think my favorite thing about the gaming community is that if someone were to hear that, they're like, so what's my do people think that like these companies actually hate each other? You know what I mean? Like they
I don't think so.
These like, but the game community is, you know, because of the attachment, right? They assume that like, you know, Xbox hates Sony, Sony hates Nintendo.
what do you call it? Like a parasocial relationship.
Yeah, it's
right?
It's a competitive.
Oh, yeah.
You think because you spend so much time with their content that you know them. Yeah. But like these companies, they're companies. They're made up of thousands of people. Like
these are
like you don't know anyone there.
This is a competitive industry, right? And they're going to have like my favorite thing though. I love this by the way. When they talk about competition, they're like, well, you know, there shouldn't be exclusives, right? And I'm like, yo, there should be. You have to have exclusives. That's what drives competition. That's what drives innovation. Like, if you don't have an exclusive for your product, why the fuck would I buy anything from you? You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I mean, it would be that I like your UI better at that point.
Right.
But
my,
I like green better than I like blue.
One of my favorite things is that, like, you know, Starfield, obviously, Bethesda acquired, or Xbox acquired Bethesda. And then people were, like, bitching because, like, Sony had Spider-Man and stuff. And, like, well, Sony has all these exclusives. The moment Starfield comes out, people are like... What about Starfield? Like, we don't talk about them, bro. Like, they just got... I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Isn't that like... They did the same thing. That's an exclusive to their platform, right? I don't understand why people don't get the fact that, like, no one hates each other. They're competitive. They don't want certain things to happen. But there's no fucking reason for you to believe that they're your friend. at all.
Yeah. Xbox is not your friend.
Yeah. Sony's not your friend.
Sony's not your friend. Just because they gave you Game Pass doesn't mean they're your friend. Just because it was $1 for that first month. Yeah. That doesn't mean Xbox.
They don't love you.
Yeah. They mean
these parasocial relationships are crazy.
Yeah. That $1 got taken away, by the way, when Starfield came out. So you had to pay the fucking full.
Yeah. They don't love you enough.
They don't. We don't like you enough. I know this is going to make me money, you know? I do have a question for you. What is the weirdest? This is my last question. So everyone else.
Sure.
What is the weirdest thing you've seen in like game development?
The weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's all bizarre.
Is it all?
Yeah. There's dumb shit everywhere. It's just, I hear it from people all the time. Like you'll just have a bug and be like, I don't know why this is happening, and you like go to debug it. I don't know if any of you program, but like essentially you have imagine a book. And that book tells you to go to another part, another page, right? You have like a choose your own adventure book. It's telling you to go to other pages. And you like, every time something goes wrong, you try to recreate it and try to figure out where in your code it's happening. Where in that choose your own adventure book is this bug happening? And so every time that happens, you have to like, you're just kind of like bookmarking a thing and being like, if we ever get to this page, like, let me know. And that happens all the time, like, and it's usually the weirdest shit. Like, I remember us having a bug on Deadwood where something was doing not enough damage or like way too much, and it was because the damage was being applied every frame because it was inheriting that damage over time thing from something else that worked on every frame. That was fine, but for this specific case it didn't work that way, and so in every other case it worked on that, like, they worked fine. So I had to go and like program a little special case for like doing damage over time with fire. Because just, that was it. It's like the weirdest little thing. It took me like 3 hours to figure out, you know? And that's like a little tiny bug.
Essentially.
Not even making it. That's just me like finding a bug like 10 months after that later. That thing got built, you know? Like
essentially, game development is a miracle, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, it shouldn't. It shouldn't
work.
It's a miracle that any game ships. So don't be surprised that any game ever has bugs, right? Because it's just going to happen.
And especially like I said, today, right?
Because unless your whole team is seniors, you're just going to have bugs. Even the seniors are going to write bugs, you know? Right.
But it's crazy, right? Because you have people that will come out, like the community is just like, why the fuck do you have to include this patch? I'm like, well, that's how game development is. Otherwise, you're going to wait 6 years for a game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real. Like, game development is much longer now. Like, people tend to forget.
The reason why I think that happens is because of art. Like, I straight up think it's just art. Art. I mean, some people are just perfectionists, but for the most part, it's art. They make really, really complicated art. For games to look as nice as they do, a lot of work has to go into them, and every single asset. So you can't just program the game, right? Because Spider-Man swinging around and like doing those combos, they probably prototyped that years before the game ever came out. That was prototyped. The gameplay probably felt great. But then, you know, you got to make all the art, you got to make the windows reflect, you got to make everyone's faces look good. They have to look you in the eye when you talk to them. Their mouths have to be in sync with the audio, like all this shit. And it just piles on top of each other forever, eternally. And it has to look better and better and better every generation.
Exactly.
So games have to look, the more work has to go.
Put that as like the main quote, buggy. All this shit.
Yeah, dude, the game development. It gets buggier and buggier and buggier because you have this house of cards that keeps getting taller and taller and taller as demands keep like getting raised, right? For more realism and more. And like, it seems to me like all the executives, like they chase it, right? Because presentation sells, right? Like if I showed you a Call of Duty that looked like terrible, but it played the best out of any Call of Duty ever,
That's BattleBit, yeah.
That's literally pretty much. BattleBit is the example of you don't need presentation. What matters is
we literally put Roblox.
Dude, you know how hard it was to get my friends to play BattleBit at first, but then it popped off and it got really popular, and they're like,
"Dude,
I want to play this."
You're right. Presentation is everything, right? I mean,
everyone gets their opinions from the internet. YouTubers rule everything, right? Like,
man.
Gaming journalism has died. Like, it's over.
That's
not what you get is the people who are willing to work at the companies that have killed journalists.
That's got to be crushing to like some of you guys working in game development to like see someone that just like trash your games. Like, bro, do you know how long it took us to fucking make him move that way?
He had to
turn left.
Zero out of ten. It's like, you understand what goes on in a game? Like, there's so much more than just that moment that really hate it. Zelda the rest of it. Like, my friend, he gave Firewatch a 5 out of 10 because he didn't like the ending. And I'm like, think about that a little bit. Did you like the rest of the game? He's like, oh, I loved it all.
Gorgeous game.
He's like, I love the whole game. It's one of my
So you guys aren't friends anymore, right? You guys, we're not talking.
I made him, like, by the end of our conversation, he rethought the way that he judged games and gave them, like, scores.
Yeah, I mean,
By the way, I think numbers, like, it's so arbitrary. Who the fuck cares? Yeah. Like, fucking Metacritic has poisoned everyone's minds. The whole number thing is fucked. It's fucked the entire industry.
We had that conversation, on one of our earlier episodes. I personally don't care for the industry reviews and shit.
Well,
like
it's crazy because, like, IGN used to write stuff, and I don't know if Brad remembers this, but, like, IGN would, like, write reviews for games, and it would be, like, this glowing fucking review, and you're like, wow, this must be, like, a 9 or a 10. And it's like a 7. I'm like, wait, what the fuck? You just said this game like walked on water for a second, bro. Like, what do you mean? This shit's butter. Like, it's 7. That sounds like me being petty as shit. 4 out of 10. I can't. Yeah. Wait, hold on. That water is not fucking actively like moving across my character's body and affecting his hair. 4 out of 10. Like, we're done with this shit, dude.
People get really technical with shit.
Dude,
what do you mean?
Oh, no, people get really technical when they're doing their reviews. Like, overly technical. Like, they're not, reviews. It's like they're not, like, when you listen to people review games, like, some people just don't enjoy the game. But, like, there's also this thing where, you know, when Cyberpunk first came out, when CD Projekt Red pretty much told almost everyone, you're using B-roll, right? That, to me, is a red flag just for one reason. It's like, why won't you let them show what the game was going to actually be about? Now, you could say spoilers. I understand that. I get that. But, like, they made them not show what was happening on the PS4 and Xbox One, right?
Yeah,
the previous gens.
Yeah. Look, then, no dev wants to hide the game performance part.
Exactly.
They don't have the decision. Like, no. they don't make it.
No.
The guy who designed the guns and how they feel and, like, the skill tree, those people don't get to make those decisions. People higher up. It's out of their hands.
But I love how, like,
not even the director, dude. Like, they don't get a say in it.
When you see certain games come out and you're just like, you know, when you listen to someone give a review about it, it's like the game community themselves, a lot of people are really attached to certain companies. Like, people are very attached to Bethesda, right?
Well, it's part of their identity.
My legit impression of, like, Starfield, I think, was, like, the most lukewarm, where I literally just said, like, it's a good game, but if you're not a Bethesda fan, you won't like it. Seriously, you're going to have problems with it.
I mean,
right?
That game didn't run good enough on my PC, and I stopped playing it after 1 hour.
Yeah, if you are a Bethesda fan, you're gonna love all the jank that comes with it. Like, the enemy AI is trash. Like, it is. It's not good. Like, the persuasion system, the persuasion system is not great. I don't think they made this weird change to it. But, like, beyond that, it's got a lot of good things to it. But, like, people bought in so much to what Bethesda was saying, and I'm like reading reviews. I'm like, guys, I hate to say this, but if you think this is, like, game of the year, that's, like, a personal thing. But, like, I don't want to see a number assigned to it, because I know most of those numbers are fucking lies. Because you guys will go on to attack someone for just, like, assigning a random number. Like, IGN gave, like, legitimately, it's a 7 out of 10. But what they said was all true about the game. Like, planet exploration is not great in that game. It really isn't. No, it's kind
of
boring.
The planets are huge. There's not a lot of points of interest. They don't tell you where to go, so you kind of feel like,
dude,
am I done exploring? And then you spend too much time, and then you're bored.
If you go into a town in Starfield or a settlement, when you go in, there is no map to tell you where anything is.
Yeah.
After a while, that's fine. But if I'm like, because of how big these places are, I'm like, where the fuck do I sell at? You know what I mean?
My favorite Bethesda game is Morrowind.
I think
it's all downhill. It's all downhill from there. I thought Oblivion was cool. I liked Oblivion because the writing is fun and all the characters, the quests are, like, whimsical and ridiculous. And then Skyrim comes along. I don't like Skyrim.
Right.
It took away, like, the whole, I could level up my athletic. I could swim faster. I could run faster, jump higher.
We can't let other Chris, our buddy Chris, watch this. Chris has beat Skyrim on, like, everything I think he could, man. He has platinum the game 3 times.
Goddamn.
I think. Yeah, he's obsessed with that game. Jack knows how obsessed he is with that game. He's played the shit out of it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I like modding Skyrim. It's cool.
Right.
It's cool.
Oh.
But, like, I don't know. Bethesda, they just got more casual with the design over time.
Yeah.
And, like, the thing I liked about Morrowind too is just there's no quest objectives. You spawn in, you're on a little dock, some guy takes a survey of you, like a little census, and then you make your class, And you walk out, and then you talk to some guy, and he's like, "Dude, my wife is fucking cheating on me." I'm
like, no, it's a, that's what it is. It's like there are games that like organic exploration. I think can only work with so many different companies. Like you have to actually have like a vision. Like From Software with Elden Ring. Like I'm not the biggest Elden Ring fan, but like the organic exploration is fantastic. Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, that type of shit.
Yeah, you just stumble upon stuff.
Yeah, but once you know, but like it's so weird. Like when you see how. When people are providing reviews, it's like you have people who have already inherent biases against a certain game. Like no one's really like being objective. Like there's always personal about it. And I'm like, why would you like just don't put out a fucking video for it? Because you're essentially you could essentially really damage a developer or like other people working on it.
Absolutely. And I like it sucks because like I think games shouldn't have difficulties for the most part. Or, like I think games should have like one difficulty or maybe two. I think that ideally you have an experience that you craft for the player and then you create accessibility options to make it easier. Right. So you have really slow reaction times. Okay. Here's a bunch of things to help you aim, help you do quick time events, like so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Turn the quick, that's fine.
That's a Rogue Legacy. Rogue Legacy 2 does that. Their entire game is like based off like your difficulty is pretty much how you want to do it. Same thing with Sea of Stars. Sea of Stars is like, they literally have, what is it, every relic that you can get that will literally make the game fucking easier. You can have like 100% HP like from the start of the game.
Yeah.
You know.
That's fine.
I agree with that.
Sekiro or like Dark Souls, like they crafted an experience and it feels the way it does because they fine-tuned every number.
Yes.
Go play God of War 2018. Put it on the highest difficulty. Tell me all the enemies don't feel like sponges.
Yeah, 100%.
Same thing with Fallout 4. Put it on the highest difficulty. Try to kill a ghoul with a pipe gun.
Same thing with Starfield, right?
All of your bullets.
You put any Bethesda game or any action adventure game on the highest difficulty. Essentially, it's just higher fucking like HP pools.
Yeah, and the game isn't harder, really. Because you can't really do that without changing all the numbers of the game. Yeah. So what you do is you just increase the health, and then all you have to do is perform longer.
Yeah,
that's all you're really doing is get hit less, hit them better.
Yeah, you are essentially tiring yourself out. Congratulations, difficulty unlocked. Hard mode.
Not that interesting to me. Like that, I think the one game that for me excludes that is like Kingdom Hearts in critical mode.
Yeah,
that difficulty feels like it was crafted to be the difficulty of the game.
Like they're like, you want to fight Sephiroth the right way, you little bitch? Like here we go. Like why do my hands hurt? Like because you're trash at this game and you knew it.
It feels good, man. Like I love the way the game. But then you play that game on any other difficulty, and at least for me, it's like I barely have to pay attention to play the game.
Yeah.
And I love same thing with Armored Core. I love that game has one difficulty. The rhythm games are different, right? Like you learn the map and then you get incrementally better at it.
With Armored Core 6 especially, like they give you all of the options you need to make the game easier. Seriously.
Oh, yeah.
You just have to fucking play with the system instead of going against the flow. Like people are like, I want to get up close and personal where you're going to take far more fucking damage. And if you use a light frame, you're going to fucking die. If you use a heavy frame, you can just swing really hard. Swing big sword. Yeah. Shoot big gun, they're dead early, right?
Yeah,
because people had that question. They're like, well, can you beat the game using a life frame? Absolutely, but it's an endurance test. You won't have the ammo.
Yeah,
like you have to
are you as good?
Yeah,
like are you good enough to do that?
Are you a true gamer?
Yeah, and like if you're not, like I'm sorry, that's the bad thing, right? It's like then you can't live out your power fantasy that you want to in that game.
No, you totally can. You just go to a tank and then you're a power fantasy, bro. You could put two chain guns.
What I'm saying,
you put two chain guns and a stun needle.
Like, oh, I don't like tanks. I want to be a little assassin robot guy. And you're just not good enough to do it, then I'm sorry. Like, you can still beat the game. There's plenty of options. They still feel good. It's not like they feel bad. You know, I love playing that game. Like every build I do, I'm just like, this is so entertaining.
I feel like every debate that happens within the game community is just like people just upset that they're not good at the game or something. Like accessibility aside, like I'm cool. Like I implore like developers, if you can put as much accessibility options to help people play the game. But like, if you have a vision for your game, do it. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the hardcore genre exists right now. It's thriving because of From Software. Be real about it.
Yeah. I mean like Escape from Tarkov, right? Like that game sold a bajillion copies and it's because they just uncompromisingly made what they want to make, and it's unique because of that.
They're like, you want to play an actual milsim?
Instead of making something that panders to as many people as humanly possible, you're just making a thing, and if people like it, they'll come, and they do. They do, because it's different.
Because people are fucking sadists, right?
Yeah, and it provides a very specific experience and a very, like, I'm terrified. I play Tarkov, I'm scared. I should be sure you can testify.
Scared. And it's very funny to watch.
Naked and afraid Tarkov edition.
Him and Dante are hilarious on Tarkov. Terrifying. It is. That's why I don't play it. I get so scared.
Naked and afraid
Gabby
Tarkov.
My coworker Gabby came over the other day and she watched me do a quest where I had to plant something on a boat for like 30 seconds. Sitting there holding F for 30 seconds. And like I hear footsteps around me, and I'm just petrified. Like I don't know what's happening. I don't know if it's a player. I don't know if it's an AI. And I'm like terrified. Hold it for the 30 seconds. A bullet whizzes by me, hits the floor right in front of me. And I lose my shit. Turn around, just start spraying, kill him, and then I run away. And then by the time I'm like halfway to getting off the map, like extracting, right? Michael tells me, "Oh, what's that in your inventory? Oh, you didn't do the second part of the quest. You have to go back."
Jack knows what that like.
Can you imagine if they added some like horror elements to the game though?
That's
like,
Stalker. That's Stalker.
That's Stalker.
Stalker? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, have you never played Stalker before?
Yeah, no, I have Tarkov, not played that one.
Tarkov comes from the lineage of games that Stalker created.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Oh.
Okay. I'm gonna look that
Stalker,
one up.
Stalker. Yeah, dude, that game is fucking that is a different game. I remember when that came out, I was like, why is this game so popular? And I was like, this game does not fuck around at all. Who's that cone dog right there?
That's Beam.
The thing is, like, I don't know. Those Stalker comes from like that genre of European games. People like to call them Eurojank.
I've heard about this
because they've just got a bajillion features in them, and they're not really that polished, but they have interesting like features and systems that interact.
Don't you disrespect
well with
the Metro series like that?
That's it's Eurojank. I don't know.
Metro series are fucking great, man. Love that.
Cool.
Shit.
Cool games. I need to play Exodus now that I have
it's fantastic.
Enough CPU.
Yeah, if you got like that game, man. I remember. Was it Metro 20? I was like, man, this game runs like shit on my PC. I need to upgrade like right now because that game is very graphic intensive.
But I did with Elden Ring. It wasn't running well enough. I'm like, all right, time for a new CPU. I still have a 1080 in my PC. I refused to buy the 40 series. I refused to buy the 30 series. 30 series were good, but I was like, I'll wait till the next one. 40 series was garbage, right? They're just bigger. They run hotter. They sag. They like break your motherboard. Like they take a lot of power. Fuck that. So maybe the 50 series, I'll upgrade. And if that's the case, then I get to play a bunch of shit.
The 50 series will be its own PC. Like,
I hope so. Yeah. Well, like Intel made those GPUs. I think they were at what is that computer expo that happens in
CES.
Las Vegas?
CES.
Yeah, CES. Yeah. And then I think they also showed them off. They were like self-contained PCs in a GPU that you could use to stream. Those are cool.
That's fucking cool. Technology, baby. Also, probably.
But Intel GPUs fucking suck. So, what are you gonna do?
You heard it here, folks.
Dude, they're look. Okay, as a developer, right? Someone says to you, "Oh, we gotta support the Intel GPU." Okay, well, it's 0.2% of our user base, and it takes longer to develop the kinks out and graphically for that thing. Like, maybe let's say it takes 400 hours of manpower versus the AMD and NVIDIA issues that give us like 10 hours of work, 20 hours of work. Why are we going to invest all that time for such a small group of people?
For bragging
rights. Business-wise, it doesn't make any sense.
We don't.
Right? Maybe bragging rights. Maybe they pay you, right? If Intel comes and gives you money, maybe you'll do it.
Absolutely, dude.
But otherwise, it's like, that's not my problem. I don't
Intel sponsor us.
And here's the worst part.
Intel wants to give me a GPU for free.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we'll make a game. I'll make it support it. Just pay me.
We just need your company to sponsor this like podcast. We'll put like on the thing, like in between, like Steamroll. Just slap it across the middle.
Can you
over...
just put it on my forehead?
Yeah, Jeez, forehead. Steamroller approved. Every company be like, "What the fuck, dude? No, no, no. We're cool with it.
We're cool. It's fine. I sold the brand. I don't know what to tell you.
What you guys want? Check
I made a deal that I had no right to make.
Sorry, you're like, I already told him, man. I'm the man of my word.
We told this dude. We're like, hey, man, is there anything we can't talk about under NDA that we won't get you in trouble with? You know what I'm saying? He fucked up.
Yeah, dude, it sucks because, like, that's the other thing is, like, I read on, like, let's say Redfield. Remember that game? That game flopped, right? They could not hire people and tell them what the game was about. Like, no, sorry. They could tell them what the game was about. They didn't have people apply because people wanted to apply for an immersive sim, right? Because Prey and Dishonored were im-sims, but Redfield was not, and people would apply and
Redfall. Redfall.
Redfall, whatever.
Yeah. Fucking Arcane, bro. I love them, dude. Rental. God damn it.
And you know what's sad? I listened to the interview with the guy who runs the studio. Like, right. He's there's a podcast called Designer Notes. Mm-hmm. And so it's a guy, Soren Johnson. He was one of the lead designers on, I think, Civ 3 and 4. And he left. He started his own company. And he's got a Civ-like game out there that's more about procedurally generating history between, like, the civilizations and stuff.
Right.
But he interviews game devs, like, a ton of them. And they're from all sorts of places. And they run all sorts of studios. So one of the recent ones was Tanya Strong or Short, or I don't remember what it was. Tanya X Short or Strong. I don't remember. Mm. But she runs Kit Fox Games. They did Moon Hunters, then they did Boyfriend Dungeon, and now they're doing the Dwarf Fortress
Oh, that's right. Remake. I've seen Dwarf Fortress.
The graphical version. Yeah. The actual release of Dwarf Fortress. They worked on that. And she's like super into simulated games, and she talks about how like her start was with MUDs. And they talk about World of Warcraft, and they call it a single-player MMO. Can you believe that? Most people talk about WoW, and they're like, oh, no, WoW is about as multiplayer as it gets. No. They look at WoW, and they're like, that's the most single-player MMO I've ever seen. Because you do your quests in a silo and by yourself. And like, you don't have to interact with people. And the MMOs they're used to, you couldn't even complete a quest without working. You know?
Yeah.
You had to work with people to do anything. And so then he has a later interview with the guy who runs Arcane, and he talks about Redfall, and it's like, it's sad. There was a lot of passion in there. He also talks about how they lost people because they wanted to work on an ImSim, and that's not what that game was, you know?
Clearly.
and it sucks. And so with hiring people just, they drop out of the interview process because that's not what I applied to make. And they hadn't announced the game, so they couldn't. People like they couldn't draw in the right people because the game wasn't announced.
It sounds fucked up when I say this, but it feels like with Redfall for Arcane, it felt like an Anthem moment for BioWare.
Sure, yeah.
Like it felt like, you know what I mean? It really felt like Anthem for BioWare, where I was like, dude, you have this great developer. I know a lot of people weren't a fan of, you know, Mass Effect Andromeda, but I felt like the game cleaned up, you know, when they started fixing shit.
That's the other thing, is the games don't get a second chance anymore.
No.
They release not. And that's it. That's it.
Andromeda, they had like a number of like, there were a number of issues with that game, technically. Like, I love the fact that like a lot of faces were not expressive. So like there was obviously a conversation with a character and they were like, look at my face. Look how terrified. But it's like just a slate stone face. It's like, are you scared or constipated? Like, what is this?
I'm terrified.
And then, you have fucking, you know, Anthem come out, and there's this crazy fucking trailer for it that was obviously manufactured. Like, you can tell that certain things were set up a certain way, and then Anthem just bombed. Brad played it, because Brad gives everything the benefit of the doubt. And then Redfall came out, and we're like, oh, Arcane.
I didn't buy, though. I did not buy it.
It's true. With Arcane, we're like, look, man, they've had just this history of just great games. Dishonored, you know, fucking, I like Deathloop. And then we're like, okay, cool, Redfall. No way this is going to be a bad game. We're like, what the fuck just happened?
It's sad. And my understanding is like, Jason Schreier wrote an article about it. Do you know who he is?
Jason, so I'll tell everybody. So Jason Schreier is essentially like the only investigative journalist in gaming. And when he works in Bloomberg. He used to work at Kotaku. Mm-hmm. If this dude gets a hold of like a story, like he crushed CD Projekt Red. With like their Cyberpunk demo they had initially the year prior.
He completely exposed them.
When they found out that it was all manufactured footage and shit like that, and people were like, what the fuck? And so he did like an expose. And so when he gets a hold of your content, he absolutely just fucking murders. Yeah. Like,
good journalist.
Yeah.
That's a journalist, yeah, right? Like, that's...
He does not.
He's seeking out stories and trying to expose truth. And
that man does not all fucking of the play. Facade. Yeah, that man does not play. If he catches you fucking up, he will expose you.
You're gonna get
so he exposed. Did a thing on Redfall, and he was the one that brought out like, yeah, people quit because this game wasn't what they wanted, and it wasn't coming together, and Microsoft bought them out in the middle of all of that, right? And then Microsoft left them to their own devices, is what he says. And it wasn't until too late that Phil Spencer comes in and is like, oh shit, like this is terrible. But we got to release anyway. We need it. It's slated. We need games for Game Pass. I'm sorry. It's got to come out. It's too late.
We desire a sacrifice.
They say they've learned their lesson. You know, Phil Spencer. I like Phil Spencer. He's a good, he turned shit. You remember where Xbox was when the Xbox One was coming out?
Who doesn't remember that? When the Xbox One was announced, they were like, let's just fucking ruin the years of goodwill with
fucking
the 360.
Don Mattrick. Boom. Fuck that guy.
Literally, the Xbox 360 was literally like where Microsoft had found its footing and was like accelerating toward being like widely respected. Like Sony corrected themselves with the PS4, saw that Microsoft completely fucking botched the Xbox One like introduction. And
remember,
then
this is how you share games on the PlayStation.
They fucking took the game next to each other and shit. I was like, oh, dude. And then essentially, Microsoft like was like, we fucked up horribly because they only stuck with their three main franchises in Forza, Halo, and Gears. That's all they stuck with.
Yeah.
Right? They stuck with those three.
Yeah.
Every other fucking franchise that came out, Quantum Break, Sunset Overdrive, they only gave it one shot and then fucking kicked it to the side.
Yeah.
Right? They released the Xbox One X. They released the Xbox One X and did nothing with it. That was the most powerful console at the time. They showed it off. They're like, here's Forza Motorsport. We're like, holy shit. What else are you going to do with it? Nothing. This is a premium console. Enjoy that. Just walked off.
And you know what? I bought an Xbox One X.
So,
because they started doing the thing around.
I want to thank everyone for watching.
I wasted the violin. I had a PS4 and I was playing my PS4. It's like Xbox fucking sucks. Fuck that company. They've ruined it. You know, famously, there was a dinner after that night. They were gonna shutter Xbox. They were gonna close it off forever.
Microsoft.
And then
has
Don
been
Matrix
trying.
Said, give me 2 years.
Listen,
not Don Mattrick. Phil Spencer
said,
"Listen, give me 2 years."
Microsoft, its stakeholders have never been a fan of Xbox. They have not.
No, yeah.
They do not like that division.
It doesn't make that much money in the grand scheme of things.
If you look at Microsoft, if you actually go to Microsoft's financial reports, if you actually look down their breakdowns, gaming is not exactly like as big because obviously they have subcontracts with the government. They have their own software. All that shit.
The other thing, dude, Excel.
Yeah.
Like, just think about how many Excel licenses
they
sell every.
Microsoft Office, guys. When you look at like the Xbox division, a lot of stakeholders feel like they're just throwing money into it because basically
a lot of effort. It's a lot of money.
For Game Pass to work, for Microsoft to work, they have had to be aggressive in acquisitions and mergers, which is something that you do in terms of growth, right? When we talked about before Microsoft acquiring Blizzard Activision. Pretty much, I think only them and Embracer could do it, right? That was the big argument. No one else could really like ever close that fucking deal, and they did it over their market cap. There's only two studios, the only two like companies that could do it. So, like Microsoft had to get aggressive. I don't blame them for doing that, and I don't blame them for I also don't blame any regulator questioning the fucking acquisition too, because Microsoft's been caught red-handed trying to monopolize before. You know what I mean? So like. This shit happening is always really funny to me because I'm like, listen.
Yeah, guys. It's not a surprise. It's not. Yeah.
Microsoft's just doing what they do. That's why, but what Phil Spencer has done is that he's kind of introduced better quality control because you have studios that were acquired 2018, 2019, that in which games have not come out yet. Like, we're still waiting for Hellblade 2, which won't release. Jack, was it 2024, right?
Dude, I thought that was supposed to come out 2 years ago. The pandemic fucked a lot of things.
Everyone thought that. But like they have studios with games in the works that will not actually see the light of day till 2024. Like when they acquired Obsidian, Avowed's not coming out till 2024. Hellblade 2's not coming out. That's why people are like, dude, the cupboards are fucking bare. Please give us something. Starfield was like, sure. Bethesda's like, we'll throw you a bone. Here's Starfield. Right?
Smash.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what you're essentially seeing is that like gaming, like these, if you don't want to have a bad game, right? If you don't want to have a rushed game, if you don't want to get fucking absolutely slammed, game development takes time. And like you're noticing now that like development cycles are 5 to 6 years.
Dude, it's the art. It's the art, I'm telling you. And that's also why your games are like a million gigabytes. It's because they think the gamers want games to look immaculate and beautiful and gorgeous.
Did anyone see
that? They do, because when they don't, they slam them. They take screenshots. They put the camera like right here, like right in your face, and they're like, you see, this eye isn't 10K a texture. The game sucks.
Have you guys seen the meme where they said a GTA 6 is going to be 750 gigabytes and shit?
Dude. What do I gotta get?
First off, I gotta get rid of strippers in HD. I gotta get rid of shit right now.
Dude, it is the 4K. You played Diablo, right?
Yeah.
You played Diablo 4? Did you saw there was like the HD package you could download to make your game look nicer?
Yeah.
It was like a third of the size of the whole game. That's like dude, it was insane. Like you went from like 60 gigs to like 80 or like 100.
I think Horizon Forbidden West was almost 100 textures. Gigs. But that game, like, no bullshit, like, you are getting some, like, fantastic-looking sequences. Like,
look, that game looks amazing.
If you played Forbidden West, there's, like, a whole end sequence that makes you go, that's why it's on PS5 only. Holy fuck, there's no way.
What Sony does better than any other company with their games, like, they make sure, like, they've got a formula.
Yeah.
Where it's this very cinematic, story-driven, third-person character action game with a really, really fancy set pieces.
100%.
That's all they do. That's the only thing they're
good at. God of War Ragnarok has like so many jaw-dropping fucking moments. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I didn't like God of War 2018. I played that game. I started on the highest difficulty it let me, and then I restarted and dropped it down to the lowest difficulty. I'm forgetting. I think I got halfway through the game, and I embarrassed every boss I fought because their patterns are like really easy. So you just dodge and like hit them. And, like, so like those trolls with the pillars, right? I just... maybe we get hit once and like kill them, but it took me like 7 minutes to kill them.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't, all these RPG features, all these skill trees, like just dish out the abilities to me as I play the game and just like, let it feel good instead of like doing all this RPG nonsense. Like, I don't know. I didn't like it. I love RPGs. I love them, but not in that game.
Love Santa Monica Studios. Those motherfuckers. Those dudes,
the game is, look, the game
those
is
dudes
beautiful.
Are wizards, goddamn.
It is so polished. Like, the voice acting is great. The facial animation is amazing. The Atreus storyline in 2018 feels a little rushed. They admitted themselves they ran out of time. They had to cut stuff. Like, I get it. But man, I couldn't deal with fighting the same boss 10 times in a row, man. That was the worst thing ever. No more pillar ogre.
Well, no, they updated that in Ragnarok.
I've heard it got a lot better.
Yeah, they made a lot of changes.
Good for
Chris
us.
Is like, I have PTSD from that.
What I also heard about Ragnarok was it was more of the same, but the enemy
variety. Yeah, the variety was different. Much better. Like, well, the environments, everything looked just so fucking crisp. Yeah. It was a sequel. It's not DLC. I fucking hate that. I just want to, before we pass it on to the rest of you guys, I'm so sorry. Like, we just been ranting.
I'm learning. It's
you know
fine.
What I, dude, do you,
I have
a
I'm here to learn.
I have a question.
Yeah, I love it.
Do you think fucking like the guys at NetherRealm Studios are just wizards, like with like Mortal Kombat like X and Mortal Kombat 1 that's coming out? Like,
what
have
you mean,
seen
like wizards?
Like, the way that game looks is fucking insane.
It looks really good. It looks really good. Well, so you also got to remember, like, they're not rendering a whole open world.
But like, holy
or
shit.
Or a semi-open world.
I get stunned. I'm like, God damn, this game is pretty. And also very graphic. Like, how are they getting away?
Let me put it this way for you. Movies have looked a lot better than games for very long.
Correct.
And the only reason why is because you can't make a movie look like a game without dropping to, like, zero FPS. So, like, it's not, like... to me, it's like they know how to, the software, hardware is getting better. We are learning all these optimization techniques here and there.
Mm.
And so the disparity between movies and games is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So, like, I'm not surprised that the game looks the way it is. It looks good, but, like, you know, we're never, like, I feel like we're in the same generation that we have been in. Like, I know that we're in different hardware generations, right? Like the same generation.
You're gonna
like
trigger so many people because of how right that is. No,
like,
no, people have said that. Developers have said, like, the jump has not exactly been like the jump from PS2 to PS3.
It's diminishing returns.
Was massive.
It's diminishing returns.
Right.
Look, 64 polygons to 1,000 polygons, huge difference. 1,000 polygons to 10,000 polygons, difference. 10,000 to 1,000,000, huge difference. 1,000,000 to 100,000,000, you're not gonna notice it.
100%.
Not gonna
until we
it.
Get to 12K TVs, and that's gonna be.
I think I'll be humming, Brad.
Even then, it's only like marginally better, right? It's it's like this much better.
Well,
like,
when it's a 287 inch screen, you know, I'm gonna
that's
be like,
difference.
I'm gonna
that's
be looking.
He's gonna like
we'll be count, in there.
We'll be counting each.
Brad,
wait a minute.
Chris,
can she be can say I have a 77 inch TV?
It's fucking impressive. It's impressive.
77 inch OLED. It looks amazing. It
once does. Brad finds out like the newest game you guys, once you guys have announced like the game you guys worked on next, like Brad's gonna pull up and be like, "What the fuck, Chris? This that polygon right there, bro. That's a little smidge,
dude. That fucking frog. Not enough polygons."
Like, listen, that triangle was not triangle.
That is bullshit, dude. Yeah. Why is the water not going in between the cracks?
Why are there 3.5 points on this triangle?
I know.
That's my mind.
Yeah. Well, it's like refresh rates and all that. That's the human eye can only see up to a certain number, and with all these TVs getting to the number that it's getting to, it's not even needed.
Yeah,
I don't know, dude. I noticed the difference between 60 and 140 or 120.
Well, that's so. I think the human eye can go up to 320 or something like that. The fighter pilots are probably the quickest to identify images within.
Chat, that's not you. You guys aren't pro gamers, all right? Chill. You need 60 frames.
I can identify anything really fast.
But yeah, but I mean, like with all this shit getting to that level of speed.
Yeah.
Like we won't. All right. Thanks, Willie Jim. I'm,
What did Brad say? What did Brad say?
That's really profound. You know, someone's gonna read that in like 400 years. And they're gonna be like,
we deciphered it.
They're gonna be scrolling through some random fucking Twitch chat. We have found the scrolls. Who is this? Who is this Willie Jim? He is the prophet. They like exhume his corpse.
When does he return?
They exhume his corpse like and like reanimate him. He's like, what up? I knew this day would come.
We need you to
speak with dead in like real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally. Okay.
I don't think Brad's the person you want to fucking talk to. Make your profit. He's like, all right, everyone's going to be dead really soon.
You just fuck up the whole time. He's like
Cult of the Lamb. He is the fucking the worst person running it. My children to the edge. Walk off slowly.
Here, eat this meal. Go shit over there.
Walk off slowly, but backwards, please. All right. So, Brad... Chibi, hey, Jack, you guys have questions for Chris? Anything game related?
I have questions. I have questions.
Holy shit, Chris, like, way back. We got questions.
We got questions. That's pretty simple. As a game dev, like, what are some of your personal like favorite video games?
Oh, dude,
appreciate
the From Software games, man. The From Software, they're so good. They're so good. They figured out that like warm up, cool down, shit. Super, super well. Yeah. That latest Monster Hunter game, amazing as well. Mm-hmm.
Monster Hunter Rise?
It feels really
good. Enjoy it. It was a good game.
And they also just got rid of like the quality of life stuff. Like they got rid of like things that were just kind of superfluous in Monster Hunter.
That was the weird thing about World. Was like World was very complex, but it sold the most ever in the entire franchise.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, right?
Like, and then the Monster Hunter community... Brad, you remember playing fucking Monster on the PS2? We were like, holy shit, when does it die, dude? I'm just swinging my fucking sword.
Dude, it's been like 30 minutes.
Freaking cooking food. You're just sitting there just waiting for the little musical number to end.
And then when you got to World, it was like, World was... I didn't expect people to like get into World, honestly. But I think Capcom was the point where they were kind of killing it. Like the RE engine... is fucking phenomenal.
Well, they did the graphics thing. That's what they did. They made it look like a modern AAA game. They're like, whoa, I want to kill a big dragon.
Yeah, and then you're like, why is killing this big dragon taking so long? It's like, that's right, bitch. you have to suffer with us. You better fucking prepare.
My friend has always told me he's like a huge Monster Hunter. Like, that's how I play.
Oh, God.
He's like, if you take more than 10 minutes to kill something, you're just bad at the game. And I'm like, okay.
Damn.
That's solo, by the way. If you take longer than 10 minutes solo, you were bad at the game.
And most people do. The most people take like the entire hunt, you know. But he's like, yeah, people just don't know how to play. Like that's terrifying.
No, dude, have you? Listen, you guys should look like if you ever play World right now or Rise, and you just go to like a random co-op thing with the biggest, the highest level hunts, you will be joined by like Japanese players who that's all they do is play that game.
Oh yeah.
They will fucking murder the monster for you and then they'll celebrate with you. It's like I hit them one fucking time and like that's great. Move out of the way. We got the gun lances. We're gonna blow this bitch up. I'm like, holy shit, what's happening?
You're like getting knocked back by every attack. They dodge everything, they stagger him, they have all these barrels, they're doing all the shit.
They're dancing and emoting on their asses, fucking dying.
They're like dodging moves by emoting. Like the claws get broken off, then the wing comes off.
You're trying to duck
because
you're
like Fortnite.
Yeah, you're ducking because it's like this war to you. Like, oh my god, what's happening? Don't get up, just lay prone.
Yeah, that game's interesting. Besides that, I play a fuck ton of Dota. I just love that game. Yeah.
Chris loves Dota. Can attest.
It's just a MOBA, but it has more RPG elements. Like,
you
can. It's feel really nice.
The WoW elements in it, not WoW, but the World of Warcraft, not World of Warcraft, Warcraft 3 DNA. It feels more like an RTS. League of Legends, you can't select your individual units, but in Dota, if you're playing a guy that summons five other guys, you can pick every single unit and move them along.
This man's a real nerd. I like that.
The way the stats work, it's cool. The game's good.
He's like, I played Dota. Nerd.
Tarkov has been a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Tarkov is just, it's just the best
it's
horror
scary.
Game.
Right? So it's scary. Game, right? No, it really is, bro. You're with everyone. You're like, who's who?
Dude, yeah. Amnesia the Bunker is actually really good. Even yes. If you don't like the older Amnesia games, play the Bunker. You like Deus Ex and stuff because it's got ImSim qualities in it.
Very good.
I like Shin Megami Tensei, but I realized I don't like the newer. I didn't like Persona 5. It was too easy.
Oh. Okay.
Are you excited about Persona 3?
I knew you'd say that because like people who play the Persona series will tell you that the Shin Megami Tensei series, like the mainline stuff, is far harder.
Oh, like, for sure.
Like 6 was like. I played it on the Switch. I was like, "Holy shit! Why is this game difficult?"
Yeah, Persona's just like for the lols, you know. It's just you want a game to grind. Like, there's no true challenge.
It's pretty effortless. It's nice though.
I don't want to be sad, you know, all the time.
Yeah, and then I've been playing Dragon Quest XI recently. That's been fun. I'm on the hardest difficulty,
which is
way too much of a crime.
When I tell you, Brad, I was like, I put 40 hours in the game. I'm like, not even halfway through. I'm like, dude, I can't do this, man. When do the big numbers come?
It has been a year. It's been a year.
Oh, no.
And I became a fish. Can you believe that? I became a fish. I became a human again. I have to find all my friends. It's like One Piece.
Yeah.
It's like going on a big grand One Piece adventure. It's cool.
I love the Dragon Quest series, man, but when I played 11, I was like, bro, I can't get into this. This is too long. I was like, I got other games coming out.
It's really great, but it has climactic moments where you're like, wow, something really big's about to happen.
This was the end.
And then it was like a cliff, and you're like, oh, okay, I'm going back up the mountain. All
right, essentially like Return of the King, right? When they had like that black screen, and there's still movie. It's like, that's essentially what Dragon Quest 11 is multiple times.
multiple times.
Was this the big bad? No,
that's
fuck.
My only issue with it is the pace of it, and like I'm playing it hard, so like every time I go to a new area, I have to grind because I just can't beat the boss. Like no matter what I do, it's the bosses are hard, so I don't grind. I'm just too weak. And I considered lowering the difficulty, but then I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna stick with it for once because I usually just lower difficulties when I get bored. Because like I'm okay with grinding, but at some point I'm like, I'm done. I'm bored. There's other games I want to play. Like I don't need to spend hours grinding. I've played plenty of. Fair. MMOs and RPGs, like
but Baldur's
Gate. I've had Baldur's Gate, but there's no grinding in Baldur's Gate.
No.
It's all like new content. It's like The Witcher, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They do that thing where they make side content and optional content feel good to do.
Yeah,
it all feels meaningful and novel and like.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to find games that like where the side content is as good as the main content, or at least as engrossing.
Yeah, it is. It's I don't know. Baldur's Gate is amazing. I can't believe we have that.
Yeah, I think we're gonna hold I think like the next show we do, because Chibi has played the shit out of it, we'll just do like a discussion on Baldur's Gate 3. Feel free to join if you want, you know.
Maybe. I put 80 hours into Act 1 alone.
Get in.
So has Brad. Brad has multiple characters.
I started playing with some friends and my girlfriend right before the game came out. We put like 40 hours in the game. Then the game came out, we put another 40 hours in across multiple playthroughs, and like we just kept finding new shit in Act 1 to do. New paths to explore, new ways to approach things. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know if you had this item, you could say this thing to this person. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, Larian Studios does not fuck around. Like,
no, dude, they made
Divinity 2 was amazing. I was like, holy shit.
I've played Act 1 with about 4 different people, and I've had excruciatingly different experiences.
Yeah.
That was the thing we were trying to sell Chibi on. We're like, dude, me, Brad and Brandon have played. I have 2 playthroughs. Like the things that we've done are just vastly different, and it just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm starting to see it now as a complete picture that I've done it so many times, but like, it's still impressive every single time. I'm like, dude, like,
I love shit like that.
Depending on the characters that you build and whether or not you succeed and fail and like which dialogue options you pick and so many ways. The first act only goes one of a few different ways, but you can make it go like there's so many subways for that to happen. Oh, yeah. You know? And that's that got me. I was like, holy shit.
There are 17,000 endings, so
yeah, that's good crazy. Writings.
Yeah, and did you know that if you play as an origin character, there's unique endings for each origin character?
Yeah. Ooh. Karlach, Asterion, you know.
Yeah, they all have their own unique endings.
Very cool.
So I'm at 174 hours and I've just gotten into Act 3, so let's see, times that by 6. Okay, yeah. That's doable. Complete every origin character. I still haven't done the Dark Urge. I really want to do a Dark Urge playthrough. Dude,
pretty our friend Alex is the most unhinged.
Oh my god, he really is. No, Alex is so unhinged. When Chris says that, he truly mean it.
Yeah. He was an angel. He's now a demon.
I love him so much though.
Yeah, he's so funny. Because he's fully aware of everything he's saying.
Yeah.
Like no matter how awful it is, like what he's saying, it's a bit. It's always a bit. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's doing. But he started a Dark Urge run, and
I didn't know that.
Watching how different it was from my playthrough was astonishing. I was like, I cannot believe that is an option in the game.
I kind of want to. No, I wish I could have saw it.
It's like you're playing a chaotic evil character, like they present to you every opportunity to do a horrible thing. It's just right there, and the game tells you. You have like a voice in your head. It's like, dude, do the bad thing.
Do it. Damn, and Alex is like, yes.
I did a paladin and then like immediately broke my oath. So I'm a.
Oh yeah, me too.
An oathbreaker, dark urge is what the way I want to go with it. Just be like totally unhinged, mass murder everybody.
What you do is get a point into warlock. You put one level into warlock and then you get warlock spell slots. So every time you short rest, you get your spell slots back. And then you can just smite every time you short rest.
That's fucking crazy.
And then you're a god. You're Red's doing like a billion damage. Trust me.
But if you do,
trust me, bro.
That's what Unity said.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, so how are you gonna count how many downloads we have? And they're like, oh, trust us, we have a proprietary data model. I'm like, okay,
Source baby, trust me.
you're just gonna feel it out and charge whatever you think is appropriate.
Exactly.
Sounds good.
Jack, you got a question? You've been sitting silent.
Just letting the conversation go. What's the greatest thing you think you've earned from being in this industry?
Money.
Honestly, just like the friends, like having a bunch of friends that are in the industry and like sharing all the knowledge. It's games, right? Like you can make more money working in a bank or there's like so many other industries that are like multi-billion dollar industries, like defense, right? There's more money to be made, but the friendship, like going out and meeting other devs, going to GDC, like making those connections, like that's it's a gift. So you go out, you go to brunch with some guys, you talk about fucking how crazy Warframe is because you can make some insane builds in that. Like I didn't know you could do that, and they're just ecstatic to talk about it like all day, and they talk to you about what they're working on, what they're passionate about, and they share their knowledge, and it's cool. It's cool. It's its own community, and it's pretty, it's like big, but not really at the same time. Like it's everywhere, but also it's very small because there's not a lot of companies doing it.
Right.
And then also just like the insight into how games are made. Like it's not, because NDAs are such a thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like the average consumer doesn't know what's going on because everything happens behind closed doors. It's all about the appearances and the facade. So they don't let any news out until a journalist whistle blows, right? So it's like it's cool to hear everything and like really understand, like, I mean, there's people behind everything,
right?
And there's all these weird organizational hierarchies that help and hinder the processes of developing games, and like getting to know all that, but interesting
until like we do like the after the podcast stuff, right? I'll just record everything about everything Chris just drops the dirt on everyone. Let me tell you.
That's going on our premium subscription.
Dude, it's cool. Like, so like I went to GDC, right? I met these dudes. Like one of them worked at, you know, Singularity 6. Do you know that company? Mm-mm. They released Palia.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the social MMO. My friend's like, that's never going to work. I'm like, I don't know. I think
bitches love Palia.
That's what I'm saying. I think people, I think the gays want a social MMO. And that's what that was. am I wrong?
No, it's just, it's just really fun.
You sounded like some fucking, one of those like douche podcasters and shit who's trying to sell something. I think the gays want an MMO, you know what I'm saying?
And they love it. They like the character customization, that you can romance the NPCs in that game. You're like fishing and like cooking, and there's like cooking mama mini games to like level up your fishing to 99. So like you're playing RuneScape, but it's also more engaging, and like you can hang out with your friends and have like a farm together.
I need you to be an executive someday, because if you just kill it in a board meeting.
I would love Chris. Chris would be perfect.
He'd be sitting there like, what do you think the gays want?
He's like just in his chair. I'm just like.
Like, I just have opinions, and like I can sell them to people.
Pitch me the social MMO stuff, you.
And so we met the guy that worked there, and he was cool. He used to work on the Hearthstone team. He had like his Hearthstone jacket and everything. We just bumped into him after some like talk. We came out, we sat down. Sat down next to us, started talking to us about card games. Then we met these other guys who work at Lightspeed LA, which is like Tencent's first AAA studio on the West Coast here in the United States. And I don't really remember what they're working on. I'm not sure if it's a mobile game or whatever it is. But we went out to sushi with them. We had the most amazing
Oh, yeah, you told me about this. Yeah.
She sounded amazing. These dudes order like $700 worth of food. We order so much food that the house starts bringing us bottles of sake on the house, and expensive ones too. She was like, "Yeah, this is this one," and you look at the price, and you're like, "That's a $100 bottle." Like they brought us too.
I cannot afford this, sir.
and these guys were like, "Yeah, I don't know what you guys make, but we're like in the six-figure range, and like if you can't afford this, like I'm sorry, this is what we're ordering." And they just kept ordering. We had like three sushi boats come in. Amazing time, but like the camaraderie there, it was like. Like nothing else, you know. It's very cool to get to just talk about all the shit these people have been through and seen, and all the cool things they know that I've never known. Some dude was like, he talked my ear off about how to procedurally generate like a world, but like not like Minecraft. I mean, he means like Starfield level of procedural generation of a planet. There's a tool called Houdini that does that, and like he was talking about how he can make most of the tools in Houdini. He was a principal technical artist, so the lead technical artist on Legends of Runeterra at Riot Games. I was just amazed by his knowledge. It was like such a cool thing to not only meet one of those people, but like this guy's normal. Like he's sitting here, he took an edible like an hour ago. He took like another edible later, and now we're here eating sushi. And he's like just blaming sake and telling me about Houdini. Like this is insane. Nowhere else you're gonna get that experience other than at GDC.
This is like 10 out of 10 recommend.
Good time.
Anything else? Anybody else? Brad? No, Brad nope. got his Baldur Gate stuff. Chibi?
Nope. Brad played his soundbite.
Yeah, he played his
soundbite. I think somebody had a question earlier. I wonder if I can find it. I know it was Noobs, I think.
What the dog doing?
Wait, what did you say, Jack? What did you say?
What that dog doing?
I didn't think you said dog, bro. You said something else. I was like, we need to talk after this.
Okay, I can't find it. I think somebody, what did he ask? It was about like Chris's desk setup, like at his office, like what? Something like that. I don't remember exactly what he said.
I don't know. I have a monitor here. And then a monitor here, and I can.
What kind of mouse do you use?
I use a Logitech G Pro.
Type of mouse pad.
Super light. I use a. If you've ever heard of, the Angel Area.
We have.
There's some artist. What the fuck is this guy's name? Peter Moorbacher. He does these really nice illustrations. He's done some stuff for Magic the Gathering, some like land art, some creature art, some spell art. He's got a really nice series of art he calls the Angelarium. That's like these really nice drawings of like angels based off of topics. So like he did like the whole zodiac as like angels.
Oh, really cool. That's pretty cool.
But there is one of them called the Tree of Life. That's like this huge spanning painting of like this enormous tree. It's beautiful. And I got it. I have that as my mouse pad. It's just printed on like a really nice mouse nice. Pad like this big.
I'm gonna have to look at
so
that.
It's like a desk mat, really. And so I have a keyboard and my mouse on that.
Nice.
Because I like to use my arm to aim. So like I'm of the opinion that low sensitivity is more immersive in video games. If you're like playing an FPS, you know, if you have your sensitivity low, you feel more connected, I think, with the character that you're playing. Because in reality, when you turn around, you don't turn around at like the speed of light, right? Like you get a
that's true. I didn't think about it like that.
Pivot
that's
on your
true.
Heel, and that takes some time. Unless I'm playing something like Neon White or whatever, where like you're supposed to be
got a
like,
zip, in, yeah.
insanely dexterous and agile. Like,
you need the zoomies.
Yeah, but like Tarkov, like low sensitivity feels amazing.
Right? Oh yeah, because like, it feels so immersive.
Because you're not sitting here like snapping and headshotting mm-hmm. people like you are in Valorant, or and even in Valorant,
big
you know,
for
you
yourself.
Want... Shut the fuck up. But yeah, no, in Valorant, my sense is really low.
The other thing for me is like in on a controller, you have a limited like speed. Like you have a certain rate that you can turn at.
Right.
You can only do things so you can only turn around so fast on a controller, and that creates a specific feel, right? Like. Where your character only does things so quick. On a mouse, if you can have any sensitivity, turn around, like, you can move a centimeter and turn your character around four times. So I think, I don't know where I was going with that. I don't know where we are.
No, it's fine. This happens every, time.
Okay, so yeah, I got monitor here, that, my mouse, you know, Logitech.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple, no RGB bullshit. I have a SteelSeries Apex Pro.
Let me turn mine off.
I want to build a keyboard with Gateron G Pro Yellow switches. I want to build a nice stocky keyboard with mm-hmm. that. And then my desktop's right here. Then above here, I have a 77-inch OLED TV.
It's beautiful.
The LG C1. And then a soundbar to go with it.
It's beautiful.
My webcam is naturally this thing that you're looking at me through. And that's it. Oh, and I have my chair is a steel case Leap version 1 from like the 2000s. It's like a $1,200 chair. But
right.
I didn't buy it at that price. I went to an office liquidation place.
Oh, the one in Orlando, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, it's
and
nice.
That's what you do. They came mm-hmm. from, I think, Lockheed.
Oh, I need to go down to the chair. Yeah.
Honestly, every time someone sits in this chair, like that's the most comfortable chair I've ever sat in.
Yeah,
but it's not like it's soft. It's just like my back pain no longer exists.
And, just takes it away.
Get a good chair. I highly recommend.
All right, I'm gonna take you with me to the warehouse. Thank you.
I can sit like an absolute idiot in this chair, and I never get any back pain. Like I'll just fold over like this and like half, and I'll be fine.
Damn, I'm gonna have to do that.
Although something I did there, I don't know. I
flexed my... Oh no!
I in doing that, I like pushed back with my leg, and I contracted my hamstring, and then it started to cramp, and I was like, oh no!
And then his ear popped, and then
this is how I die.
Yeah, sorry,
no, guys. Please, Chris, don't die on cam.
Holy shit. No, that would be a viral thing, bro. What are you talking about?
Dude, it's good press.
Game
it's
developer press. Dies on fucking camera.
On cam after giving it
right.
Demonstrating how his chair is.
When we post this on Friday, I'd be like at Steamroll fucking animations fucking developer died on cam. It's like live reaction and shit like that.
I explained this earlier. I don't have a ring light, so I've been using my monitor as a ring light. I have Wikipedia open behind.
Oh yeah, you're just a white page.
To increase the amount of light that is.
I understand.
Like, that's me full screening it.
Oh god.
Me pulling up Discord over it. You know, that's me making Chris. It the right size where I feel like it's properly lit.
No, it looks good.
If you guys want the page that I'm using, there it is in the Discord chat. wikipedia.com/wiki.
Thank you, Chris. I'm going to use that. I'm going to use
Oh, Google my Wiki God.
And Wikipedia page about wikis.
All right.
So this is where we go.
Thank you. Thank you. He's not here anymore.
I usually have a can of Liquid Death on my desk. Their tea's really good. Their water is like really? $2, but their tea's good.
I didn't know they sell tea.
So these are 19-ounce cans, and they have, like, 30 calories. I don't really like super sweet things, but this is enough.
Colby died in Tarkov.
Oh. I was like, what the f-
Literally.
Any other questions? Anything else?
I don't think. I feel very informed.
Good.
I learned a lot. I'm like, I have like zero knowledge when it comes to any of this. So I was just like,
There's so much going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much no, but it on. Makes sense. Like, a lot of it did make sense, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like, pretty, like, I just think people don't realize how much.
Yeah, no, it literally,
making
yeah.
a game mm-hmm. run at 60 FPS.
Yeah.
Like going from 30 to 60, if you were struggling to run at 30, going from 30 to 60 is, like, an enormous struggle. And then going from 60 to 120, God forbid. Like, it's like you just have to get faster. Your game has to get exponentially faster.
Yeah, Laren, I think one of Laren's studio devs talked about that, because they were talking about frame rate issues in Act 3 on the PS5. Yeah. And they said, like, they had a dedicated team to attack that. But they're like, you know, it's also Jedi Survivor. So when that game came out, the performance mode fucking sucked on PS5.
Sure.
You were essentially dropping to, like, 30 frames constantly. And yeah, so people, and you're like, why? For like 6 months, so. People were complaining all the time. They would just hit, like, go into the message boards and to help. Like, when the fuck are you going to address a patch for this?
Yeah,
6 months, like, later.
I promise, we're trying. We're
yeah,
trying.
Yeah. 6 months later, they're like, hey, we finally did it. We have a performance patch, which led a lot of people to believe that, like, game development is far harder because you're trying to optimize for multiple platforms. And then when you try to get it to optimize on console, like, there's a lot of work. There's, like, an entire dedicated team to do that.
Yeah, so like, shit will just break. Like, you'll just make something for PC, and then be like, all right, now let's work on the console ports. And then things start breaking. Textures don't render, movies don't play, like, sounds don't work, like, just shit just breaks.
Sony has a specific studio that they hired, I can't remember what they're called, that all they do is PC ports.
Oh, yeah. Iron Galaxy?
I think it's, they have another one, they literally just picked them up. What's up?
Square Enix?
Nah, bro. You just want them to pick up Square Enix so you can... Like, because Final Fantasy.
Yeah, Iron Galaxy did the Last of Us port on PC.
Yeah.
So they did they did. They did the Uncharted Lost Legacy as well.
Like, so if a fucking $1 billion corporation has to buy a fucking studio specifically for ports, like, then you should realize how
they're not doing it for funsies.
Yeah.
So they're doing it because they have to, right?
They're doing it for the money.
Yeah. Real about it's like, shit. It's hard. Real hard.
All right.
Optimization ain't easy.
All right. Thanks, Chris, for coming on.
Thank you, Chris.
When we have the Baldur's Gate 3 discussion, which will be in like 2 weeks, if you want to hop on again to talk about that game,
please.
And go off,
nerd out.
Go off the fucking deep end and try to argue
with
the
as we
Brad.
Always do.
Because look at him. Look at Brad. He's ready. He's ready for war.
This guy. This
the means... game is so flawed, man. Not Baldur's Gate, D&D as a system.
Oh, shit. That's going to upset Brad.
That's what makes it so great, though.
Yeah, it generates funny moments.
Because life is flawed. D&D is flawed.
Holy shit. Anyway, I want to thank everyone for listening. Please sub to the podcast. Plus sub to the YouTube. This episode will be out on Friday. You know, I don't think we breached anything. So, you know, steamroller animation.
Okay,
I didn't curse within the first 30 seconds.
Oh,
you're welcome.
That's true.
I timed it up. That's why I did it. Like, it was at a minute when I said fuck. So, you know, steamroller animation, please don't fire this guy. You know, we're just.
We love him.
Chibi does. Not Brad. Anyway, we'll talk to you next, everyone. Thanks for listening.